From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 13th day of April, 2026. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net in Normal, Illinois. We'll hear today from Frayne Olson, agricultural economist at North Dakota State University, and then we'll turn our attention to the weather forecast. We'll do that with Mark Russo at Everstream Analytics, all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online on demand at willag.org. That's willag.org. Our theme music is written, performed, produced, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn for the day settled at $4.40 and a quarter cents. It was 0.75 cents lower. July at $4.51, down a quarter. And December corn, $4.71, a penny and a quarter lower. May soybeans, 13.5 lower. Settlement price there at $11.62 and a quarter. July, $11.77 and a half, down 13.75 cents. And November beans, $11.49 and 3 quarters, down 8 cents for the day. Bean meal futures up $0.10 for the day, and bean oil futures, 59 cents lower. Wheat futures, soft red in the July, that's the harvest month, 11.5 higher at $6.16.5, and the hard red July, up 6.5 cents at $6.34.25. Live cattle futures, 67.5 cents lower. Feeder cattle up 47.5 cents, and lean hogs settled down $6. Crude oil for the day, $1.97 higher, below 100 bucks again, though they went to 105.63 for the day, around $98.51 at this time, and that's in the WTI, the crude Brent, at $99.10, up $3.90. We're joined now by Kurt Kimmel of agmarket.net to help make sense of these numbers. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for being with us.
Well, glad to be here. Another week. Hopefully we'll avoid some of these storms coming at us.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that goes. There are places, of course, that need rainfall, so it is a double-edged sword. Speaking of that, over the weekend, the United States and Iran did not come to an agreement. The president has now put into place a blockade. Iran also has a blockade. I don't think much will be getting through, it feels like. What impact did that have onto the marketplace?
Well, yeah, that's another news item. Need, you know, confirmation, and something we cannot control, and we're subject to that news. But also, too, there's reports that China was not too happy with that, and they basically said that their vessels carrying energy out there, it will go through there. And in the same breath, the Chinese Navy is supposedly not too far away. So that's unconfirmed. That's headline news. In fact, that might have been on X. So the market's kind of subject to that type of news. And initially, we saw beans weak and the corn and wheat higher on some spread activity, unwinding the spread. We saw that the bean market did record a daily price reversal to the downside. So we need some positive news to get the bean market turned back higher. This morning's export shipments, it's corn shipments, 1.7. That was at the upper end. Beans, 814,000 tons. That was in the middle. Wheat shipments, 320,000 tons. That was at the lower end. The crush report expects to show another good round of crush. But the thing with the crush report is expected to show some building of some soybean oil stocks. So we'll see how the market handles that. See what the crush number is. Going into 11 o'clock here this morning, the funds were sellers about 3,400 contracts of beans. They were buyers of 5,800 contracts of wheat, 3,200 contracts of corn, bought 4,300 contracts of soybean meal, and it was about even on the bean oil there, Todd.
A couple of things. Are there estimates out for this afternoon's crop progress report? And also, have you been talking to producers? I know I've seen them in the field over the last week, of course.
Well, one of these rare times, I don't have some estimates for the report this afternoon. But yes, visiting with producers, there's been some pretty good headway take place. It's still early. I expect this afternoon's report to show, at average, maybe a tick above average. The equipment today, we're able to cover a lot of ground. It seems here in central Illinois, you kind of go north, east. This guy's been putting some beans in. You go straight east of us. There's quite a few beans, and it seems like about a good chunk of guys I visited with had about half or two-thirds of their beans in. As far as planting corn, just a tad bit there. Corn, and as far as more rapid progress, you go Decatur on south. The problem area, or the slower area that needs to warm up a little bit more, dry out, is northwestern Illinois and into Iowa. There's still a few days out yet on that, but if this weather cooperation stays warm, I don't think it'll be too long. But yeah, there's pretty good headway. I think a lot of these guys have been going last week. The Delta, the far south, been playing catch up. So we'll see what this afternoon's report shows. And I wouldn't be surprised that we're a little further along with trade things.
Hey, thank you much. We appreciate it. We look forward to talking with you again really soon.
Very good. Take care, Todd.
You too. That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with agmarket.net. That's agmarket.net online. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. We're online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Or look up the Closing Market Report in your favorite podcast application by name, including Apple on YouTube and in the NPR One app. We're now joined by Frain Olson, agricultural economist at North Dakota State University in Fargo. He's here once a month. Hi, Frain. Thanks for being with us today.
Always my pleasure. It's always fun to visit and get caught up on what's going on in the wild world of agriculture.
Well, I did take a look at the drought monitor from last week, April 9th. Congratulations, by the way, North Dakota, sitting there very pretty, not too dry, not too wet. It's one of the few that looks that way across the Midwest. I want to ask you first about the common theme across most of our analysts for probably all of this year, at least since January, reports that simply says, we believe you should get started. And the further we got in, especially to March, you had better get started with your old and your new crop sales, or actually finish up your old and start those new crop corn and soybean sales. 20-40%. Are you in that same kind of camp?
I am. Actually, what I, in some of my last meetings, farmer meetings before the spring season starts here, that I made some comments about that. That when you look at the charts, just kind of general price movements, and it's pretty obvious to see where we started getting a risk premium built into corn, beans, and wheat due to the conflict in Iran. We saw, again, from an outside market standpoint, you saw the stock market starting to drop. There was a surge or increase in some of the index funds, commodities. They switched from investment in stocks and bonds into a commodity portfolio. And a lot of those are pre-indexed portfolios, which include a portion of the grain complex. And they were primarily going after the precious metals, gold and crude oil, the energy market, but they end up getting, because it's a prepackaged index, they end up with some of the grains as well. And so we did see an increase in price, but also an increase in volatility, with some calming down a little bit over the last week. We did see some of that pullback, some of that risk premium come out of the grain markets. I do think it'll probably get put back in again. So this, in my opinion, is an opportunity to get some pricing done. It doesn't have to be a lot. I'm not suggesting that it be big values, but at least get the process started. Again, getting some old crop cleaned up, looking at some of that new crop pricing. I'm fully in that camp. What percentage you should do, of course, is a little bit more ticklish, depending upon your individual farm, your ability to store grain, your cash flow needs, etc. So I'm fully behind probably a minimum of 20%. 40%, in my opinion, might be a little bit strong, just from my personal bias, but I could certainly be talked into that.
I'd like to ask you about acreage as well. Of course, numbers coming out from the United States Department of Agriculture on the last day of the month for March. That survey taken relatively early in March, and the war in Iran's impact really hadn't, as the survey started anyway, been diagnosed as a urea and or nitrogen source problem. The Secretary of Agriculture says that not this year, 80% of the nitrogen has been put in place. Farmers here, even here in Illinois and Indiana, that seems like the right number. That 20% might be interesting as it's related to the acreage if they can manage to switch to soybeans because of the price ratios. I'm wondering what happens in your part of the world, though. Have you been having those kinds of discussions?
Yes, I have. I've actually been not only at the farmer meetings, but also done a few sessions for some co-op managers conferences and talking to some of the folks that are in retail, fertilizer, grain merchandising, petroleum as well. So had a lot of conversations with those five guys around this region. As far as pre-purchased or how much. How much had been of the fertilizer been priced, in particular nitrogen products, before the war began? Yeah, that 75, 80% seemed to be a pretty common number. There were a few individual farmers that hadn't booked much. There were some that wished, obviously, now they had booked a lot more than they did. There wasn't a lot of pre-sales. There wasn't a lot in the 2025 purchasing cycle, mainly because incomes are down, they didn't need the tax write-off. So, but after the first of the year, there was starting to get a lot more activity. So from the nitrogen products, again, I think that number seems to be pretty common or pretty reasonable. We do have a lot more flexibility on crops up here. I mean, it's not unusual for a typical North Dakota farmer to have four or five or even six crops in a normal year. So we have some flexibility to flip around. I get a lot of questions about that. When I looked at the prospective plantings report that came out, most of the numbers I saw, I felt pretty comfortable with. They were pretty similar to what I had been informally surveying farmers all winter long. The one exception was corn. Pretty much every meeting I went to, I said, "What do you think is going to happen to corn acreage locally?" And almost everybody said, "Yeah, it's going to be up." And then we get to the survey numbers, and it was down just a little bit from last year. Not extensively. It wasn't a huge shift or reduction, but it was down, and that surprised me a little bit. One of the challenges we have, especially from a farmer that has tight supplies or very, very high fertilizer bills from the nitrogen perspective, corn is obviously a big nitrogen user, but so is wheat, both spring wheat and durum. And canola is also a pretty heavy fertilizer user. So when we look at our dominant crops that we grow up here, acreage-wise, number one is soybeans, number two is spring wheat, number three is corn, and number four is canola. And so those are kind of our big crops. If there are, we have some other legumes besides soybean that we produce. Soybeans obviously still are our number one acreage crop in the state. I do think there will be some more interest in soybeans. Now, my caution to farmers that are looking at that is, we still have this big uncertainty about the exports and what's going to happen with our trade relations with China. And so there is some risk exposure that in the marketplace now that you're looking to try and absorb. But we do have some other legumes. We're also, this region is very heavy into dryable beans, pinto beans, navy beans, black beans. We also have some other pulses, including field pea and a lentil. So we do have some other choices. But again, each one of those crops is relatively small in an acreage relative to, let's say, a soybean or a corn. So I know there are farmers looking at that. I know there are some farmers that are going to consider a much heavier pulse rotation. So it doesn't have to be soybeans in this region, but it will likely be soybeans just because they're relatively simple and easy to not only produce but also to market. So the net of all of that is I see the numbers coming out of the report, the acreage report, or excuse me, prospective plantings report. I think the numbers are pretty close to what we'll see this spring, unless we have some really funny spring weather. Except for that corn number, I do think the North Dakota corn might actually come up just a little bit, just because a lot of the fertilizer had already been purchased, hadn't been applied. There are some retailers that are a little bit concerned about some refill tons, but I think they'll be able to work around those short-term issues. So it's really a pricing thing and how much rationing do we need to have to make.
On that note, because North Dakota uses, I think, primarily urea as its nitrogen source across the board, and I don't know whether it's spring applied or fall applied and whether that depends on crops. And there is expected to be, of course, a lag into the 2027 growing season, or that the fall this year will be a high priced
Yes.
nitrogen and urea, maybe longer than that. Does that change your crop mix going into next year?
Going into next year, I think it will. Next year, I think, is going to be a very different environment. Again, I think from what I'm hearing, most of we are very urea focused. There is still some anhydrous that goes on, especially in the western portion of the state. But a lot of the farmers have switched to urea only. We don't do a lot of UAN. There's some corn guys that do some top dressing, but it's relatively small amounts. So we're pretty heavily dependent upon urea. And I agree. I don't think fertilizer prices are going to come down very quickly. We tend to see big run-ups with a very, very long tail as prices start to come down. So I am the longer this conflict on Iran continues, the more challenges I think we're going to have from a pricing standpoint. I think the U.S. is in pretty good shape from a supply chain, to be able to get the available supplies. The question is going to be, what's the price level? And I am a bit concerned and becoming more and more concerned about fall fertilizer prices. And again, I think from what I'm seeing, given thin profitability, I think farmers are going to get very conservative on the amount of fall fertilizer they put on. And that might have an impact, I guess, as we move into the 2027 cropping year and what those acreage balances will look like. Yeah.
All right. Hey, thank you much. And I look forward to talking with you again in another month.
All right, always a pleasure. Enjoy the conversation.
That's Frayne Olson. He's an agricultural economist at North Dakota State University. Let's take a look at the global growing regions across the planet. Mark Russo is here. He's with Everstream Analytics. Hello, Mark. Thanks for being with us.
Hello there, Todd.
Let's start here in the United States. We've been talking a great deal about rainfall that is needed in the hard red winter wheat growing regions of Kansas, Colorado, parts of Texas, Oklahoma. Did they get anything out of this last set of rain?
Got a little bit of rain here with this opportunity over the past 4 to 5 days. And in general, the Eastern Belt and parts of the Southern Belt got good rainfall at levels which stabilized the crop. But the vast majority of the Western hard red winter wheat acreage missed out on meaningful rainfall. And in the kind of central areas here, it was all over the board. A few areas in around Wichita, Kansas picked up rains, but more on the lighter side of things. So all in all here, the majority of the belt did not improve over the past week. Some stabilization, but it could have been much better.
And do we have anything in the offing in the next week? 14 days?
The short answer is no. The next 2 weeks will feature across that western acreage just a continuation of drier weather. At the same time, there will be additional rains in the eastern areas that have fared better of late. But for that key western area that still needs rain, we don't see anything meaningful over the next 2 weeks.
Does that take the crop, do you suppose, from needs to dire?
Starting to head that direction here, would not exactly say that here by the end of the 2 week period, but if this carries forward just another week or two into early May, then that'll certainly be the case.
That's the time frame I'm looking for. About the rest of the Midwest, the Corn Belt in particular, how are things progressing? I was looking at the drought monitor from last week, still before before the weekend, on the 9th, there was an awful lot of the Corn Belt that was really dry.
Yeah, that's been improving here, and will continue to improve as the pattern does feature rain activity. Now, overall, the outlook is variable here from a precip standpoint. Actually, taking a step back, what we've seen here lately is that the southern Midwest has been dry over the past week. That has extended into the Delta and Southeast. So that's where, planting progress has been pretty rapid here of late. And coming up, at least the southern Midwest, most of it's on the drier side of things. There's a little bit of rain around, but a little bit of a drier bias. The kind of central acreage, especially northern Illinois and then eastern Iowa, that area looks to be the wettest here going forward. So things will be a little bit slow there, but we're not expecting that to be any kind of exceptionally wet pattern or things that would bog down and be a concern. And then also there will be some additional rains in portions of Wisconsin, Michigan, where it's very early, but some interruption is possible there in fieldwork operations and planning. Then you go to the Northwest Midwest, and it's drier biased, also a little bit warmer biased, and really good planting is expected there the next few weeks. So all in all, it's all over the board here in terms of weather conditions and planting progress going forward.
On that planting progress note, USDA will update those figures this afternoon at 3 o'clock Central Time. Many of these stations, including our home station, will talk about those numbers tomorrow morning. 8:55 a.m. is our opening market report on WILL. Many other stations as well will have an update on that set of numbers. Probably we'll talk a little bit about South America during those reports as well. What are you seeing there today?
Well, Todd, Argentina's pattern looks a little bit wetter over the next 2 weeks with a couple of bigger storm systems moving through and with above normal rainfall now expected across the vast majority of acreage. That will begin to slow down harvesting of corn and soybeans. Soybeans are just starting to get harvested, so this is going to start on the slower side. Corn has been advancing at a very good pace in recent weeks, but now that's starting to slow as we go through the remainder of April. As for Brazil, the only item of note is in the southern Safrinha acreage in around Paraná, Brazil. That area is back into a drier pattern over the next couple of weeks. Their soil moisture is adequate right now. We'll start declining for the next couple of weeks. So ideally, they'd like to see another rain event right at month's end or in early May to boost soil moisture before the rainy season comes to an end. So that's going to be the main thing to watch here over the next few weeks.
Hey, thank you much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report that came to you from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLHE.org. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.